Jack is back. Kiefer Sutherland's wounded, paranoid bad boy Jack Bauer has returned to television after a four-year hiatus in his personal war against terrorists and backstabbing intelligence officials. Is the revival of 24 a triumph, or does it signal a lack of creativity in prestige television? We'll talk about it with David Zurawick, the Baltimore Sun's TV critic. Also, tonight is the first televised debate among the three Democratic candidates for governor in Maryland's June 24th primary. The debate is being carried by the NBC affiliates in Washington and Hagerstown and by Maryland Public Television. Still noticeably absent in that lineup is Baltimore's NBC affiliate. We'll talk about that and other developments in the world of television with David Zurawick. It's midday on Media, after the news from NPR. Welcome back to Midday, everyone. Dan Roderick's here. Thanks for joining us again for our second hour. Well, Jack Bauer is back to live another day. In this edition of Midday on Media, we're going to take a look at the return of the post-9/11 hero or anti-hero, Jack Bauer of 24, with Baltimore Sun media critic David Zurawick. He'll give us his take on the series' revival, its return on Monday on the Fox network. And also, speaking of networks, we're going to go over the White House Correspondents' Dinner. This is the annual event in which politicians, media professionals, and other celebrities convene in Washington. You know, this thing started off as a low-key dinner intended to award scholarships to promising young journalists. And I guess it still does that. But it's grown into this elbow-rubbing, hobnobbing event for the elite. And some media professionals have grown tired of this annual display. We'll talk about that today. But up front, David, I want to say hello to you, first of all.
Hi, Dan.
David, and confirm that you are in the studio. Hello, David. Nice to see you. So you know, there's two things that you know we're going to talk about. Jack Bauer.
Yes.
And what I just said, the correspondence dinner. Okay.
What did I just say, sir?
Yeah. And then now we're going to talk about, but we're going to start off by talking about the gubernatorial debate.
Yes.
Something
yes.
serious.
Yeah.
Lots of undecided voters. The Maryland primary is but 7 weeks away or something like that, June 24th. We have three Democratic candidates having their first televised debate tonight. And this was a bit controversial only a week or two ago because we found out the WRC, the NBC affiliate in Washington, was hosting this, putting on this debate.
Right.
David Gregory of Meet the Press is the moderator,
right,
which
right,
is a nice catch for them to have him doing this. This is Heather Mazier, Anthony Brown, Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown, Attorney General Doug Gansler.
Right.
And the NBC affiliate in Washington was carrying it and was going to be carried in Hagerstown on the NBC station there. And that was it. And we heard that WBAL-TV, the NBC affiliate here in Baltimore, had been offered a feed of this debate.
Yeah, a live
and
feed.
A live feed and had decided not to air
it. Not to carry it, yeah.
So you and I started receiving emails from people saying,
yes.
Hey, what's going on here? Doesn't Baltimore count in this gubernatorial election?
You know, very good, Dan. Actually, I forgot about that.
It was only 10 days ago.
No, it's true because Tricia Bishop, the deputy editorial page editor at The Sun, sent me an email or a couple emails. And then I got a bunch of them, and they were actually from you. I forgot. I thought they were from our politics experts, and some of them were.
Oh, I got a dozen or so.
Yeah, they were from
people
you.
Saying, why is Channel 11 not carrying
it? Yeah, and this was like last Monday, I think. And you know, I looked at them, and, you know, some of them had similarities of phrasing and issues. So I thought, well, maybe it's organized. Maybe it's by a campaign. But, you know, the motive doesn't matter as much as the message. If the message is righteous, who cares what the motive is? So. Yeah. I started calling around and asking, you know, I'm thinking, well, the debate's got to be, like everybody, I'm thinking the debate's got to be somewhere. So when I call up WRC in Washington, they say, yeah, we're carrying it, we're doing the feed. And it's, by the way, it's at the University of Maryland, the state institution, taxpayer-funded institution. And nobody in Baltimore is going to be able to see it. I went, well, did you offer it to people in Baltimore? And he said, yeah, we offered it to Channel 4, WBAL, because we had...
Channel 11.
Channel 11, because we had a relationship with them. We've worked with them in the past. It was really because they were the NBC affiliate, and this is an NBC-owned station. So they offered it to them. But the surprising thing to me is that WBAL turned it down. You know, and I got to tell you, Hearst, the owners of WBAL, make a big deal about how committed they are to political coverage and public service journal, public affairs journalism. And they have a station in Boston that's very active in that regard. So I was surprised to turn it down. WBAL's general manager, when I asked him about it, said, well, we're carrying two other debates. One of the debates is going to be, it's going to be June 2nd, and it's the gubernatorial debate among the same debates among the Democratic candidates, and it's going to be staged over at MPT. And then that same day, they're going to tape the Republican debate June 2nd, but it won't air until Friday, June 6th on MPT.
So his argument was,
we're doing
our part a little bit later.
Yes. And in a second one, in that Republican debate, they're going to get, WBAL is going to be able to use one of its anchors as a moderator. So even though they're not even really co-producing it, MPT is the, I talked to MPT yesterday about this because I knew it was coming on here. MPT is the producer, not BAL, but in the Republican debate, they'll get one of their personalities, quote unquote, as hosts, news personalities. So I was really surprised by that.
Also surprising was that MPT was not going to cover this first debate.
That made me absolutely crazy because I thought, look.
I didn't understand that. Listen, I don't understand this on a news level.
Yes.
Forget public service for a minute.
Yes.
Just as a news possible source of news for your TV station or whatever. Why would you not want to cover the first live debate of the three Democratic candidates in an election 7 weeks out with more than, according to the last poll I saw from St. Mary's College, half of the vote is still undecided.
It's absolutely true. And you know, Dan, what really upsets me about this is that you have the incumbent administration, a member of the incumbent.
Lieutenant
Governor, trying to run sort of that same campaign, which is limited exposure.
Rose Garden campaign.
Yes. And you know, when you say, what the hell have you done to deserve to run that kind of campaign? You know,
right.
Come on. What was it? The health exchange? Was that the thing that we should love you for? I mean, I'm so mad. And then to say, I'm not coming to Baltimore to do a TV debate.
Okay. Well, that's another issue. Now, you want to go into that now?
Just to settle this, we need
to settle the first thing first. Tonight is, today is May 7th.
Yes, yes.
So there's a debate tonight, folks.
Yes.
And if you live in the Baltimore area, you will be able to see it on Maryland Public Television.
That's the thing.
You just won't, if you tune to Channel 11 expecting to see it, you're going to see whatever they carry there.
Look.
Entertainment Tonight or something.
And that's fine with me. That is fine with me. Maryland Public Television is the perfect place for this because almost everybody has access to it. You don't have to pay extra money to see it. They changed their mind.
I'll blow your own horn.
Okay,
for you.
Go ahead.
You wrote about it.
That's one way to get me to shut up.
You wrote about it on the ZNTV blog,
right? Yeah.
And MPT said, okay, we'll carry it.
They changed their mind. Yeah,
I don't understand
hours.
The hesitation was from the beginning, but I'm glad they carried it. So you can, in the Baltimore area or throughout Maryland, wherever you get MPT, you can see this debate tonight.
Yeah, and that's great that you can see it on MPT. I've talked to them about this. I think their sense was, hey, we're producing two debates, okay? That's enough. But, Dan, that's the problem with almost everybody in television today. It's this attitude of we're doing enough. You know what I'm saying? Instead of trying to do more.
How you make that judgment? I don't know how you make that judgment. More debates, the better, I think.
You know,
how many debates did Romney and Obama have? They had two or three anyway, didn't they?
Yeah, and everybody I talked to at all the stations, commercial or public, were like, well, Zerwick, you know this is not going to be a big ratings getter. It's, you know, mocking.
Now, how do they even know that?
Well, and you know what?
Why do we assume that? Yeah. 7 weeks out from an election, I know maybe people aren't tuned into this. Maybe there's apathy. The indicator there is the number of undecided voters. But I don't know. I can't. How can you assume that?
Well, and Dan, yes, that's great. That's a great point. I wasn't even thinking of that, but that's a great point. But the other part of it, the part that upsets me. I'm not going to act like I'm, you know, equal hand. I'm really mad about this because they think it's okay not to do this kind of thing and they keep it under the radar and it'll just go away. Nobody, you know, and then when I write about it, I'm a bad guy. You know what? I'm a,
because I don't think you're a bad
no, no,
guy.
You don't, thank no. God. You're, but they're
you're
like,
Jack Bauer to me, but, man. But Jack Bauer with a laptop.
But they're like, you know, Zerwick, you're kind of being, you know, obnoxious here. Why are you making a point out of this? You know, we're carrying two of them. Calm down. You know,
no, I don't get that. Sorry, you know? That doesn't work with me. You should carry every. It's the public TV station, yes. The public TV network in the state should carry every debate it can.
Yeah, and you yeah. know, so the good news is they
versus,
did
versus you know, doo-wop.
Well, the
yeah,
concerts. Let's yeah. Thank you.
Know,
you.
Whatever. You know, I want to get into that.
No, I agree. And you know what? Honestly, I'm going to say this because I have been critical of MPT. I had a long meeting yesterday, 2 hours, with Stephen Chupak, their head of content over there. And I have to tell you, I really believe they are trying to do better television over there. And in some ways, they are. But there's just, Dan, it's this mentality. I'm not singling out MPT because it's everywhere. But here's what it is. The commercial stations think of their audiences as consumers. And now a lot of public television has started thinking of them in a corollary way of their viewers as pledge donors or donors instead of citizens. You know, of course you need them to be consumers if you're commercial. Of course you need them to donate. God, I'm sorry, people have to ask for donations in public broadcasting. People should be calling them up and offering them money. But they do. And somehow the economics and the change in the media in recent years, they've lost sight of we only have these licenses because in 1934 we promised Congress we would broadcast in the public interest. Let us be the stewards of the airwaves. Right. And they're forgetting that now because it's convenient. So they say, oh, well, we can run Motor Week, you know, and Motor Week's very popular. We don't want to preempt that for a debate. Nobody's going to watch. Oh, we're going to run Access Hollywood on Channel 11, you know? I mean, God, preempt Access Hollywood and Inside Edition? What'll happen to the Republic?
Right.
How are people to be screaming in the streets for information about their life? Find out which actress, you know, tripped on her gown coming into an awards ceremony. To, you
but
know?
You played your part in this, so thank you very much.
Well, thank
so
you.
So it is on Maryland Public
TV. It is on Maryland
tonight,
Public TV.
And there are other debates ahead in June, right?
Yes. Yeah. Maryland Public TV now really is the place to stay tuned into these debates. You're going to have one tonight at 7 p.m. live. It's in HD and all that if you have HD. On Monday, June 7th, you're going to have another Democratic debate at 7 p.m. And then on June 6th, Friday, you're going to have the Republican debate, which was taped on June 2nd. Now, you know, I have to say, to me, that's not a lot of debates for this gubernatorial race with three people we don't know much about. And listen, you see what goes on in this state for government. I mean, Dan, this kills me. How many people in government in Maryland try to operate in the dark? You know, it's a constant push, whether it's City Hall down here or Annapolis. And they get away with it.
Well, they try to avoid the press
yes,
as much as possible.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
that's
yes,
true,
yes.
Except when they want something.
Exactly.
That's true. I'm looking at it a little cynically. And there are fewer eyes on them.
Dan, you're
general,
one of the guys.
Right? There are fewer reporters covering them than there were 10, 12 years
this
ago.
This is true. You're one of the guys who has been knocking down doors for a long time in this state, so you know this better than me. But you know what? I'm at a point in my career, there's no reason not to do it.
Right.
It's the righteous thing to do.
That's right.
The audience of citizens, it's one of the reasons we're so screwed up as a country right now. Because many people want to govern in the dark, and many parts of the press don't want to expend the dollars, or the reporters that are hired don't want to do the energy or anguish that it takes to get through those doors sometimes. So all you get
and
is
a bunch of them, those in Washington, would rather just hobnob at the correspondents'
oh,
dinner.
Oh, my God, Dan, that thing.
How much longer is this going to go on?
It is the, it dis- you know.
It seems almost anachronistic to me these days to see this thing, the president telling jokes, or some comedian telling yeah. jokes, reporters who are supposed to be covering the administration and Congress yeah. hobnobbing with celebrities and. You remember Michael Kelly?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember Michael, the late Michael Kelly?
Yes, yes, the great Michael Kelly.
Yeah, he was a Baltimore Sun reporter once upon a time.
And I remember.
He took Fawn Hall to the White House Correspondents'
yeah.
Dinner. Yeah. Remember that? Remember who Fawn Hall was?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oliver North.
Yeah.
Oliver North on Fox. Right. The Fox Corp. Right. The fabulous Fox analyst.
This was
Oliver
the
North.
Iran-Contra scandal. So Michael Kelly from The Sun takes her to this dinner.
Yeah.
And from then on, it became this sort of, you know, that's what you do. Who do you show up? What celebrity can you show up with and draw attention to yourself?
Do you know how old, again, not old school, Old Testament we are? The first time, you know, 8 or 10 years ago, whatever it was, that I was invited, you know, I went to The Sun and said, you know, CNN's invited me, you know, to sit at their table, blah, 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 as their guest. And, you know, The Sun was like, what do you think? I said, I think it's fraught with
problems,
conflicts.
Yeah, problems,
I think
yeah.
it's fraught. And they said, yeah, we do too, sir. I said, you know, if I'm sitting there with CNN, then at the next table is Fox or MSNBC, and I ripped them to go, oh, sir, we're sitting at the table with CNN, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, then next year, you know, the other invitations were for the other ones. And we turned them down about, I'd say, about 4 or 5 years in a row. And they were like, what's wrong with you? This is a great honor for somebody from the little burg of Baltimore out there where you live with Tevye and the milk cows out there in Baltimore. We're inviting you to the glittering capital of the world here, Zerwick.
David Zerwick from Anatevka. Yeah, right.
Anatevka, yeah. Thank you.
But, you know, and when you see, I think people get the impression that it's all big, one happy club down there in Washington when they see Andrea Mitchell and people like yeah. that who are, you know, reporters. Also hanging out at these events, but anyway.
And it is, Dan, in a way.
It's past its prime.
But in a way, you're right. It is too much of a club. The natural, I don't want to say antagonism. It doesn't have to be fierce. But the natural role for the press in a democracy to oppose these forces, they've been seduced by it. They give them some pretty people from Hollywood to stand around with, and they let them wear their tuxes for a night and their gowns, and they put them on C-SPAN, and are ready to roll over for them, you know? I mean, it's just unbelievable. It angers me.
We had Mark Leibovich on the show.
Oh, there's the king of it, the king of
yeah.
Brilliant.
He's every once in a while, someone emerges to criticize the Correspondents' Dinner. Tom Brokaw did it once. Remember?
Yes.
Christopher Hitchens was excellent. And then Mark Leibovich, who has that book out, This Town, is an excellent book about
great book,
exactly what we're talking about, the celebrity culture in Washington and who knows who and who goes to which party and all that. He says, I would hope that it would be some kind of pivot point in which Washington maybe collectively comes to a point of self-awareness that maybe this looks awful, maybe it's excessive, maybe 2 or 3 or 12 parties after parties, brunches are not necessary. Basically, this is just part of the disconnect between the self-celebration of Washington and the revulsion that people outside of it feel for the major institutions here, the media, Democrats, Republicans, Congress, lobbyists, whatever.
That's brilliant. That's what a great quote, the revulsion people feel.
And the disconnect.
That. Yeah. It's so true. You know, that's what Crossfire is. They put on Newt Gingrich. Remember we talked about it? They put on Newt Gingrich. And who's the woman from the Obama White House, the press spokesman? She's horrible.
Oh, Dana?
No,
not Dana.
Prina's guy. She's now got her job. You know who I mean. Anyway. And they've got Van Jones on there, and they've got, I'll think of it.
Why do you do this?
But especially with Newt Gingrich.
You can't remember the names, David.
He's you know, if this was a medieval morality play, he would be the face of Washington Vice. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. And CNN thinks it's a good idea to
put
Newt
on. Yeah, controversial. Yeah. Get the conservative viewers over from Fox to start watching CNN. That's the idea.
Yep.
Hey, we're going to take a break here. When we get back, we'll get to talk about Jack Bauer and the revival of 24.
Oh, that's good.
Can we do that?
Yeah. I love
So I'll put
it.
A call out now to our listeners out there. We'd like to engage you in this conversation. 410-662-8780. Were you a fan of 24? Did you tune in Monday night to see the return of Jack and Chloe? And how about those tats on Chloe? What's going on here? And William Devane is now the president, right? He's the president. This is amazing. Anyway, I'd like to hear what people thought of this, the first 2 hours of the new 24, Live Another Day, with Kiefer Sutherland back as Jack Bauer. 410-662-8780 is our number, the midday email address, midday@wypr.org. It's a comment from Debbie here about MPT and doo-wop and oldies.
Oh, good. Let them do it.
I promised myself I wasn't going to bring it up. But,
okay. Well, if it's a good line.
But hey, Ryan and Remington wanted to say something about MPT and the debate tonight and the fact that Channel 11 is not covering it. He says, I'm glad that MPT decided to air the debate, but for those of us using a digital converter box to watch TV, it might not help. While I receive all of the major network signals just fine, MPT never works. I have heard of similar problems from my neighbors in Remington who don't have cable. I find it a particular irony that those who need MPT the most cannot receive it.
Oh, wow. He's got to read that, and I'm going to ask him to write to me at this time.
I just read it.
Oh, you read it on the air? I didn't know we were on the air.
We're back on the air again.
Talk about being relaxed, Dan.
Did you hear the music, David?
Dan, I hear
play
music.
The music for
I
him.
Hear voices.
Listen, listen to this. This is when you hear this music.
Is that the way radio works?
This is the Zurich theme now.
Oh, I don't even.
So that, that would be a cue to you that the little red light comes on and we're back on the air.
I knew there was a term for that cue.
How long you been doing this now?
You know, Andy Beanstalk asks me every week when we tape.
How long you been doing this now? Anyway, we're back here. David Zurich, the Z on TV, BaltimoreSun.com, and the Baltimore Sun. He's the media critic there. He joins us once a month for Midday on Media. Are you going to watch the gubernatorial debate tonight? Do you care about it? Are you glad that MPT is covering it? 410-662-8780. And were you a 24 fan? 24 on the Fox Network, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, the paranoid... what do we call him? Hero, anti-hero, something like that.
I think.
Right?
Yeah, postmodern hero. We'll call him that.
Yeah.
That'll cover it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Jack is back. Jack and Chloe are back.
Yeah.
Jack is up to something again, this time in London. Chloe has all kinds of tats on.
Yeah.
And he did a Pulp Fiction thing with her the other night with a adrenaline shot to the chest.
Yes, right? yes.
I was
you're
thinking
right.
Travolta in Pulp
you
Fiction,
know, yeah,
right? I'm
yeah.
channeling that. And then William Devane is now president. Now, William Devane in the previous 24,
right.
what was he?
Was he Secretary of State, maybe?
I think he was.
Or, yeah, Secretary of Defense. And, I think it was State, though.
Yeah.
I think it was State.
And
yeah.
I just remember him always saying, he would listen and find out something that Bauer was up to, and he'd say, Jack, are you insane? That was his line. I think they gave it to him in every script. Bauer, are you insane? So now he's president, and Jack's former wife is the daughter of William Devane.
Well,
is that right, Audrey?
He's president, but he has dementia, early stages of dementia.
Yeah, I mean, they're dealing with interesting issues
there. And they're propping him up, and his chief of staff, played by Tate Donovan, is actually married to Audrey now, and he helped nurse her back after the last debacle.
The trauma with Jack, you
mean? Yes.
Okay, so what do we think about this? This is not a sequel. This is a revival, and it's an attempt to be relevant 4 years after.
Yeah, 4 years, yeah.
4 year
right.
hiatus from the original 24, which I thought jumped the shark. I stopped watching it a couple of years before it actually ended.
Yeah, I agree.
But I do remember enjoying it a lot and being totally arrested by it. And
There was a period, Dan, where, you know, after 9-1-1, where I thought this was one of the smartest shows on television. I thought this Fox Broadcast Network series could almost compete with the HBO series in terms of its cultural relevance. I thought it really spoke to where we were psychically after 9-1-1. You know, we really wanted to believe that there was somebody out there
who could save us.
Yes. Even in spite of the dysfunction of our national institutions, you know? And we needed to believe that. This was, for post 9-1-1, this was the same kind of figure we had with Rambo after the Vietnam War. After we lost it, then we created a Rambo and said, we really won it. We dominated Asia. We're really tough.
Well, that played right into the Reagan line about how the veterans were not allowed to win the war, right?
Yes.
We took away their opportunity to win the Vietnam War.
So I loved the series for a while, and it explored important themes, I thought. Torture. It really dealt with torture at a time when we knew, we had a vague sense the government was doing it.
You don't think it made torture acceptable? Because that's been one of the criticisms of the Jack Bauer 24.
Well, I'll tell you something. This is interesting, because if it did, it only mirrored the larger culture. because successive administrations, a Republican one with George W. Bush and now one with Barack Obama, have tried to make torture accessible. I mean, acceptable. They have tried to say it's okay. Both of them have tried to mainstream torture. So if they did, I think one, being primetime entertainment on Fox, they exploited it, you know, for the, you know. But I also think by showing it in its gruesome nature, it also makes you think about it in its real sense. I remember not this, but the Showtime series, Homeland.
Oh, yeah.
Where I can't remember, but a guy's trying to prove himself, and I think he stuck a knife in the hand.
Yeah, in the hand or the knee?
I think it was the hand.
No, the knee
hand
was that Bauer did that.
Yeah,
Bauer
yeah.
Did
yes,
that
yes, yes.
Episode 526. Yeah. Yeah, I remember the whole thing.
So, but you know what? So I really liked it. I thought it was an important series, and I have to tell you something. I thought they created a really compelling sort of mythic, postmodern mythic hero, if you want to use that language, in Jack Bauer. I especially liked one of the seasons, I think it might have been season 3, when it ended the last episode with him on the run and he was at a train yard in Los Angeles at night with the sun setting.
Oh, yeah.
And it really was the sort of, it was the outcast, it was the hero on the hero quest, it was all that great stuff.
Right. I thought that. And now it's wounded hero,
It is wounded
hero, and he's outlaw and hero. It's the anti-hero.
It's wounded hero, outlaw hero, and I think we're going to get dying heroes eventually. You know, we'll hit all those archetypes. The interesting thing about this, I think, in terms of what you were saying, is what is it? Is it a sequel? Is it a, you know,
revival?
I think revival. They made 12 episodes. And it's interesting the way they spun it. They said, oh, we're following the British model, you know, where you've been. Well, the British model's been in effect for like 20 years. HBO's been following the British model. You make 6 episodes, you make 12. That's a season. Like Veep is 10 episodes a season. They're not following that model. That's all Fox was willing to commit more. Mm. And because it's a long shot. It's really a long shot to bring any show like this back. And I had that reaction. As I watched Monday Night Show, I thought, these producers are really smart. They're really good. They're really hitting a lot of the buttons of today with drones and
the reference to early onset dementia or Alzheimer's the president of the United States.
Excellent, yeah.
William Devane, by the way, I looked him up. He's 77 years old.
Really?
Yeah, 77.
See, you know you're getting old when your first reaction is, God, he looks pretty good. Yeah, he's been on TV, Zerwick. It's all makeup, you moron. You've been covering this 30 years. But, they could only, so as I watched, I was impressed with what the producers were doing. I was impressed with the script.
Mm-hmm. But you were conflicted about something.
I was conflicted because I didn't feel the energy. And I think it's almost like a Jungian archetypal energy that I felt with the original Bauer. I didn't feel any of that. At the end of the Monday night, I really didn't care about him again, where I used to get upset. Look what they're doing to Jack. Jack's
oh,
right.
Yeah.
You know,
I cared about Jack once.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I admit I did.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
I didn't feel it Monday night.
Thank you.
I'm going to say it, so I'll say it. About halfway through the second hour, or even before that, I was thinking, I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't want to do this again.
Exactly.
Kiefer, would you do something else?
So people, all day Monday, people were saying to me, oh, Z, so you don't like it? I shouldn't watch it. I go, no, watch.
Well, did they like it? Oh, they hadn't seen it yet.
And I said,
have you heard from anybody since it aired?
One person, a young person.
Do you know what its overnights were? Did it have good ratings?
I don't think they were because I haven't seen them actually.
I'm going to just put out the phone number again because I know people who loved 24 the first go round. And I wonder how you felt about this.
I expected more blowback from people who loved it and I didn't get it.
Okay.
That's maybe the most telling thing.
410-662-8780 is our number. The midday email address, midday@wypr.org. Dan Rodrick's here with, David Zerwick, my colleague from the Baltimore Sun, talking about the revival of 24. I just got to tell you one funny Keith Sutherland story. So I remember being a fan of 24 and watching all these episodes and getting used to the Jack Bauer character pulling a gun out.
Yeah, yeah.
When some bomb is ticking someplace and he's only got a few seconds left for some terrorist to tell him where the bomb is or something like that. And he'd hold a gun up to his head, or he'd hold a gun up to his knee, or actually shoot him through the knee, or something like that. It got pretty severe, right?
Right.
So the Three Musketeers movie is on from 1993 with Chris O'Brien, Oliver Platt, Charlie Sheen,
wow,
who was healthy then,
wow,
and younger, and a younger Kiefer Sutherland as one of the Musketeers. And there's a scene where something dramatic is happening. There's a sword fight or something like that. And they did have guns in those days.
Right. The muskets.
The handguns that you had to, I don't know what you call it, black powder things, right? And so Chris O'Brien, is that his name? Chris O'Donnell wants to help him in this situation. He says, get on the horse and flee.
I'm trying to figure out.
You know, Kiefer Sutherland says, get on the horse and flee. And Chris O'Donnell says, no, I want to stay and help. Get on the horse and flee. I want to stay and help. And he pulls out his gun like Jack Bauer and holds it up to his head and said, I told you to flee. And it was a Jack Bauer moment in 1992 when they made that movie. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
No other critic in America connected those dots.
No one made that reference. No one else made the reference. But, has he done anything else? Kiefer Sutherland?
He had a cowboy movie.
He had
a couple movies when Bauer was big. You know, in the summers when he was shooting movies when he's hot.
Did they make a Bauer movie?
I don't think so.
I'd like to know. How did you feel about the revival of Jack Bauer? By the way, we're told that 24 brought in 8.1 million viewers Monday night to Fox. Now, what do you think of that number?
It's okay. I mean, I would imagine that they'd say it was a solid number, but for the promotion and for the franchise or the show, the vehicle, I would say that's probably a little disappointing for Fox. And you know what the tail of the tape will be? To see what it does this week and next. If it drops into the, 6.5, 6.8, that's not good. You know, but
I'll go back.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't feeling it by the second hour, maybe I'll try it again.
I won't, but yeah.
By the way, the format, the original idea of real time, each hour was an hour in the day. That was pretty original in the beginning, right?
It was a great idea.
It was part of its appeal.
Except as you really got into it, there was another thing you realized it wasn't close to actually.
It wore off after a few
years. You had to suspend disbelief and say, we're really watching it by hour, because you couldn't possibly get all the stuff. Oh, somebody flew from Washington to Los Angeles, and it's now noon instead of 11 a.m.
Could get a little confusing, too. Yeah.
Yes.
Karen's calling us from the Eastern Shore, joining us on Midday on Media with David Zurowick. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
So you were a Jack fan in the old days?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So, and did you see him on Monday night?
I certainly did. I watched it. I was happy that Jack is back.
And what do you think of this Jack? Were you concerned about the way he looked?
Well, you would expect him to look a little more careworn. He has been gone for 4 years.
Do we know where he's been during the 4 years?
I don't.
Are you happy?
I didn't get that out of the...
I didn't get it either, but are you happy Jack is back?
I am happy Jack is back.
That's a nice term, careworn. That's a kind term for Kiefer Sutherland, you know?
What do you think happened to Jack during the 4 years? You don't know?
I have no
You
idea.
Really don't know?
I don't want to know.
You haven't seen, they haven't sent you
they
some material?
They sent me
material?
A press release saying the backstory where Jack's been? I told you, I don't, after the end of the week, Jack didn't make the cut of things Zurowick's got to worry about. But it was a big event Monday. People were talking about it, yeah.
One last thing on this, but we'll take some calls after our break. Is this considered prestige TV? Was 24 originally considered prestige TV? Meaning, fans like it. It gets good ratings, but also critics like it. And it's up at a different level than the rest of what's on TV.
HBO
series considered prestige TV.
I think it did. Not at first. But I think even the most critical, the people who were most critical of it had to admit two things. Number one, for a while there, it had the most, almost the most manic and cleverly plotted storylines on TV. The twists that it took were astonishing. As you said, that can only go so long, and then you wear out on it, So the plotting was great. And the other part was, you know, what I talked about earlier, the cultural mojo. It just connected with the times and spoke to our psyche. So that makes it prestige TV.
It's facing the challenge of relevance now.
Yeah. I would say we've moved on in some ways, and the world has changed, and the audience is different. I said in my review, part of it was, you know, we know the problems are way too complex to even think about some hero solving any of them, you know. And we killed Bin Laden, and things still are awful. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's not the answer.
410-662-8780. Open phones here at midday. Dan Roderick's with David Zurich. If you want to talk about 24, Bob tweeted us in to say that I agree that 24 jumped the shark for me. The first time they brought him back from the dead. I'm just not interested in it anymore. But if you are and you have something to say about 24, give us a call now. Also, the gubernatorial debates tonight. I just wonder, are people interested? Are you going to tune in? Are you happy to hear that it's being carried on MPT? 410-662-8780. And any other question you might have for David Zurich about television.
Is that a cue now?
Yeah, that's a cue. The music, yeah. Yeah, we're going out. Hear that, David? We're back. Hear the music?
Is that a cue?
Yeah.
I got to ask Andy about that.
Yeah, he's a program director. He knows about that.
He
stuff.
Does? Okay. Yeah. I wanted to impress him with what I learned in the last 15 years.
I'm going to read an email. This will be on the air, this email. Since we're on the air now.
Oh, that's the other part of it, when the music and then the cue and then you're on the air. Yeah. Okay.
Roger says, I started watching 24 when it first started. I enjoyed the show in general. The issue that I cannot get over is that it has caused many Americans to actually believe in the idea of the sleeper cell terrorists with crazy weapons or nukes. Just how CSI influences Americans to believe ridiculous ideas about the criminal justice system. 24 causes Americans to believe in outlandish ideas about national security. Yeah, it's been one of the criticisms of it.
I think, you know, I'm not disagreeing with that. I think that's reasonable. But I will disagree, and, you know, somebody's writing an email, they're not thinking all the, you know, being real precise about the language. But I think people sometimes do really mean to say exactly what that said, that television causes us to believe stuff. I don't believe that. I mean, I really don't. It contributes to a sort of cloud of information we have. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't cause
it
us.
It plays to prejudices and biases and ideas that we have already.
But we're also very resistant. I talk back to TV all the time. I bet you do. You know what I'm saying? You know, so
that would never happen. Yeah.
So and I think we shouldn't, because then we create this sense of TV sort of brainwashing us, and the powers that be, the dominant culture, pumping this stuff into our brains. That's a very old, that's really a World War II model of how communication works. And it really came from the fascists in the 30s and 40s when they were trying to explain how could Mussolini and how could Hitler go on the radio and people believe this awful stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, they injected, it's the hypodermic theory model of communication. Ideas are injected into our brains. We know now the field is advanced. We know that doesn't happen. This information comes in and it intersects with our backgrounds and our history and our feelings and blah, blah, blah. So that's I'm not disagreeing with that, but television doesn't make us believe stuff.
Hey, David, remember earlier in the show when you were groping around for a name? The name of a woman.
I don't remember that, Dan.
A woman who was on Crossfire and CNN.
We might have
who had worked
that,
in the Obama administration.
Oh, I didn't know we were on the air. If I knew when we were on the air, I wouldn't have publicly groped.
That whole thing took place while we were on the air live on WYPR.
Okay.
Yeah. Stephanie Cutter.
Yes, Stephanie Cutter. I hate her. God, I hate her.
Oh, really?
Oh, she's an awful person. She's a lobbyist. You see, you're jacking me up. She's a lobbyist
for
Banksy.
She excites me. Oh. I like her. Why don't you like her? She's conservative?
She's from the Obama administration.
Yeah, but she's conservative. I don't understand how she worked in the Obama. Well, yes, I can.
I'm going to let you dance alone.
She's probably in charge of drones.
Dance alone, Dan.
Was she in charge of drones? Maybe.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, let's go to Scott in Towson and hear from him on this other issue of the gubernatorial debates.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back to 24. Hi, Scott.
Hey. How you doing?
Good. What did you want to say about the debates?
Well, I did want to say I don't give a damn about 24, but I do care about the gubernatorial debate.
Good.
I think it's really important now that we discuss this debate because, as far as I know, and I'm reasonably involved in political matters, that no one knows what's going on. No one knows who the candidates are, and you know, it's been a kind of crazy time. So it's about time that this happens. I am really disappointed that WBAL is not covering it.
Yeah,
you know, I think it goes against everything that you're supposed to do as a TV station. But
yeah.
You know, so we have to live with that here, and I'm glad MPT is carrying it. So basically it. You know,
Thank you.
My friends are reasonably involved in the process, and you know, but I don't think, you know, when I talk to people that I know otherwise, they're not, they have no clue. They have absolutely no clue what's going on.
Thank you very much. I've heard this, that people don't know what's going on. I mean, there's been plenty of news coverage of the candidates.
Yeah.
As much as we have available, I think.
BaltimoreSun.com.
I don't know what the local TV stations are doing. I know what this radio station has done.
Yeah, this station. Thank you. Yes.
But so what's the... Why do people? Is it because the primary is coming so early? We usually don't have such an early primary.
I think that may be part of it. I think also Scott did touch on a point that I think is important. You said it earlier. We don't know much about any of these candidates, and none of them is, you know, really has much Baltimore, have much of a Baltimore connection. So
none at all, actually.
Which is
Ken Ullman, who is running with Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown, is the county executive of Howard County. That's as close as you come.
Yeah, think of that. You know, so it's even more important for us to get these debates. Now, I do want to just say one thing in terms of Scott's answer about BAL not covering it. I would be shocked if BAL didn't cover this in its newscast. You know,
oh,
at
11 sure, they'll PM, cover it as a newscast.
But they're not carrying it.
But they're not carrying it.
And that's
live.
The bigger issue. That's the much bigger
and
issue.
Live.
I totally agree.
Live
yeah.
is where
yeah.
things
yeah,
happen,
yeah. Oh,
baby,
I
right?
Totally
as we know from radio.
Yes.
Anything could happen live on the radio.
You might miss a cue.
Let's go to Bobby in Baltimore. Take Bobby's call. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Good question. Did anybody else bothered by the narration? I thought it was horrible and forced me to turn it off.
Yeah, you know,
narration in 24.
Yeah, I didn't, Bobby. I got some emails on this, and I didn't watch it because I watched the screener copy. You know, I didn't watch it on 24, but they were reading. Apparently, they started out with a script that was like was not what they were running the wrong audio track, essentially. And so, yes, there were some people who were bothered by it. I don't know how long it went on, but it was apparently long enough for you to tune out, which was pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to know what punk rock band Chloe was in during the last 4 years. listen, Jim makes a good point here. Jim and Fell's point.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is an email, David.
Okay.
He says, there were so many shows that contained similar plots and storylines since 24 went off the air. It seems to me the new 24 will appear redundant.
Yes, that's a great point.
And you
that's
mentioned really, yeah. Homeland for
yeah,
one thing,
that's
right?
A great, yes, exactly.
There might be some other shows.
Exactly.
And
that's
other
a
movies,
good point,
right?
Yeah.
For me, says Bob, the show jumped the shark the first time they brought Jack back from the dead. Kiefer is a bit of a one-note actor.
Yeah,
so similar
yeah,
criticism
yeah.
to
very true.
To the
very
tweet
true.
We got. And Patty and Telson says, I am worried for Chloe. Yeah, I don't know what happened. We got to find out. I'm going to tune in just because I loved Chloe the first time. She was always doing those thermal scans of buildings for Jack.
Yes.
Like in a matter of seconds.
Yes.
She was really good.
And do you know what? That's one of the reasons I decided in the review I wrote that this show is not great is Chloe's much more interesting than Jack.
I thought she's always been.
Much more. Well, anyway, maybe. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Al and Towson. Al, you're our pal. Go right ahead. Al?
I guess my question here, and maybe you covered it before, was I saw some station like WMAR, who's written all over taking, televising the debate itself.
You broke up, but I think your question is, Al, why didn't Channel 2, for instance, or WJZ, another station, take the feed from WRC? And I don't see that happening. RC is the NBC affiliate.
Yeah, you know
would
what?
Would they have offered it, even if they had to pay for it?
Everybody tried to duck around this when I talked to them at RC. But I would say, based on my reporting and what people did say and wouldn't say, questions they wouldn't answer, that WRC only offered it to BAL, which was convenient in a way for MAR and Jay-Z, you know. But I was, I'll tell you something, I was kind of shocked. WJZ didn't want to talk about this. They didn't want to talk about it.
No comment?
Oh, they sent back an email saying, we don't think we have anything to add to the conversation or something like that. I thought, yeah, the conversation of democracy, CBS-owned station doesn't want to talk about it. That's what you do when you call up. I don't think we have anything to add.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You have a live debate, three gubernatorial candidates, 7 weeks out from an election.
Yeah.
You not only take it, you advertise it, you hype it. People tune in for live TV.
Yeah.
There's very little that's on TV that's live. And the news shows are live.
WJZ didn't want to talk to me. Said they didn't have anything to add when I contacted them. And yet, I heard in the Sun newsroom that they were talking about trying to get a debate with the Sun or something. Mm-hmm. But that's hearsay. That's not something I'm going to report. I call them up, and they don't want to talk about it. Because this is the conversation of democracy again. Let me say that to a CBS-owned station, which is probably the richest station in this market. You judge if that money's going into, we don't think we have anything to add. Good, guys, you don't have anything to add.
Let's not leave a WBFF Fox 45 out of this.
Oh, God, what a great
before
story.
Before we get off the air.
Yes.
Because we're still on the air, David.
Desperately trying to get a debate. WBFF wants a debate badly. They thought they had a debate. Mike Tomko, their news director, told me they had been talking for months to the candidates, thought they had a debate. Heather Mizer, Doug Gansler said they had a debate for May 27th with WBFF. And, you know, when I wrote that the next day, wrote about MPT not carrying the debate and all the televised debates, the next morning, early in the morning, Brown's campaign came out with a press release saying, yes, the three of us essentially have agreed to do three debates. You know, we're going to do the WRC, we're going to do MPT, and then we're going to do a debate with Larry Young at
WOLB
radio, AM radio.
Oh my goodness.
And Mazur and Gansler, and I haven't seen this in all the years I've been covering this, two candidates, joint release saying, no, we did not agree to that. I don't know what Brown is talking about. We had agreed.
They accused him of ducking the Channel 45 debate.
Yes, we agreed to three TV debates. And I'll tell you what, Dan, I'm so glad you brought that up because Brown is ducking a debate. He's ducking a debate in Baltimore. Part of it is he doesn't want somebody from BFF questioning him, I would say, about the health exchange and matters like that. He should welcome it. He should come in here and welcome it if he wants to be our governor. Or he can go hide in Annapolis in Montgomery County. You know where he's going to get softer treatment. I'm so mad about Brown doing that.
I know how we could get the lieutenant governor to take part in that debate.
How's that?
Get Jack Bauer. Get Jack Bauer on the case.
See, this is what we say about the trivialization of political discourse in America. No, there's no more serious place in this city than right here for that discussion.
We're down to our last minute. Can we take one more call real quick?
Yeah.
Bob and Bowie. Bob, you have to be real quick, please.
Okay. Monday night, three guys, myself included, mid-60s, mid-40s, mid-30s. We sat there for 2 hours and were totally entertained, number one. And number two, I hate to tell you guys, but this is a fantasy. We didn't look at it and look like there's a terrorist cell or that Jack is really killing somebody. We escaped, and we sat there, and we bought into it for 2 hours, and it was over. We said, we can't wait till next Monday.
Okay. I'm going back. Because I want to see what happens to William Devane and Chloe. I'm really concerned about Chloe. All right, there's the music. Yeah, you hear the music now? So this now this means we've got like a minute left. So we get to say goodbye and thank everybody for listening to our radio
What's
show.
What's this mean, Dan?
That means 30 seconds.
Oh, good for you.
We're down to 15, okay. So say goodbye, David.
Listen, I really enjoyed it again. I had a lot of fun today.
Thank you.
Great audience.
Z on TV, David Zurich, Baltimore Sun, and BaltimoreSun.com joins us once a month here for Midday on Media. Have a great afternoon, everybody. See you again tomorrow.
Midday senior producer is Nikki Gamer. The producer and director is Jonathan Ahrens. The associate producer, Michael Himowitz. Our interns are James Daly, Tom Cartaxo, and Michelle Richardson. Music produced by Jeff Truman in High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcast and live streaming available at WYPR.org. Dan Rogic's column appears in the Baltimore Sun. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.